we spent a significant part of the morning talking about PSA doubling time, and certainly there's clear data out there that this is the next iteration of how we're going to use PSA. But the problem that we have is that we do not have a consensus on PSA doubling time as of yet, and we need a consensus in the field of urology about how to actually calculate PSA doubling time, because I've heard Steve's talk before, and some of his patients only had one or two PSAs over a long period. Others had them over a shorter period of time. So this is great data. I'm not questioning PSA doubling time, but I think that we're going to have to look forward as thought leaders in the field and saying getting a consensus on what is the optimal duration. Is it every 3 months, every 6 months, and how should we approach it?
Well, how do you follow your patients post-op?
It depends on their risk stratification. If they're low risk, we'll follow them every 3 to 4 months the first year, then every 6 months the second year, and after 2 years out, once a year. Whereas if they're higher risk, we'll follow them a little more closely, which means we're getting more frequent PSA determinations.
So is that consistent, Steve, amongst the urologists here?
Well, hold on. I want to make actually one point on that. I mean, that's an excellent point you make, Lenny. And that basically, in our study, some men had two PSA values, some had six or seven. And despite those limitations, PSA doubling time was a phenomenal predictor of long-term 15-year outcome. So you can imagine if this were done in the context of a trial where you had PSAs every 3 months, or if you were going to require that for trial entry and you had a very accurate measurement of doubling time, it could potentially be even better predictor than what we had in our study. So I think it really says the power of PSA, given the limitations, how good it still was.
But as Howard says, you can sort of get different PSA doubling times depending on how closely or how loosely you may follow a patient, regardless of what Steve says. I mean, I agree with that, but I still think there's a lot of variability in how we're doing it. It would be great to have someone step forward with a consensus statement as to, if this measure is truly as important as it is, we better be giving a lot more attention in the coming years and make sure we're all talking the same lingo when we're talking about PSA doubling time.
Let's see if we can do a 2-minute instant consensus conference on this question. I'm going to ask Steve to propose what he thinks should be a standard approach to evaluating PSA doubling time and see if you all will agree with that.
Ideally, you take PSA value starting at 0.2, because below that, I think there's not a great consensus as to what that means. And I would say if you take PSA values at 3-month intervals, the first three PSA values can give you a guideline of what that doubling time will be. The problem is you were going to treat some of those patients with radiations and hormones, but forgetting that, if we're doing a natural history, you have three PSA values separated by 3 months over a 6-month span, and that's going to give you an idea, I think, of where that patient is going.
Laurie, agree, disagree, or in between?
So I just want to clarify, we're talking about post-radical prostatectomy?
Right.
Well,
the median
PSA.
Let's stick with radical prostatectomy.
In the pound series, the median time to PSA failure was 3 years, correct?
Yeah, 2 years.
So, I mean, I never saw the point of doing it so often in the average patient.
I was saying once the patient has reached point two.
Well, once they've reached point two.
You get that point two, you get another one 3 months later, another one 3 months later. So you have three PSAs over a 6-month window. You can then relatively accurately, I think, reasonably identify is he the really high risk, is he the low risk, and if you are going to do a salvage therapy, you probably haven't lost much by waiting 6 months.
It's not what I do, and I'd have to think about it for a while, but it makes sense.
What do you do?
I do it every 6 months for 5 years and then annually, unless, particularly if the patient is particularly anxious or they all of a sudden look like they're developing a rapid rise, in which case I'll do it more frequently. So beyond doing it every 6 months, I don't have a fixed strategy for the bad actors.
Somebody who's like 0.23 and they were 6 months earlier, say 0.1, you'll wait another 6 months and then you won't get another PSA in 3 months'
As
time.
As I say, I try to use common sense. So if it's a patient I'm worried about, I do it more
often. You'll do it more often.
But I don't
have a
rigid policy.
Anybody want to comment on Steve's algorithm? Disagree with it?
I think it's reasonable.